150th Psalm says, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Don, where are you going? Give our brother some music here. We are praising. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Everything. Why do we praise God? We praise him, and we've been hearing these songs this morning, always praising God. Praise him, praise him. We talk about praise and worship. Praise is what we sing. Worship is who we are. Praise is what we do. Worship is who we are. We live a life of worship. We live a life of worship. We praise God. Why? Not because we want to, because we feel compelled to. Because there's nothing that we can do but praise him. We worship him through the keeping of his law. We worship him because of his love. And we've seen already today that his love goes way beyond anything that we can even think of or imagine. Amen? Amen? So what we're looking at is, why do we praise? I mean, think about it this way. That God says, come into my presence. God has gifted his children, right? He's gifted us with many different gifts. Some of them have the gift of music. And God is in his living room and he's saying, you know, Don, come. I've given you a gift. I want to see you, baby. I want to see you perform. I want to see you play that piano. Amen? Right? And he's going up to these two kids. Two of his children here this morning. And he's saying, listen, babies, praise me. Praise me. Right? And he's going up to Rose. And he says, Rose, you have a gift, right? You got a gift. You can dance. Come into my living room and dance for your daddy. Amen. And he's saying to Vania, Vania, you got a song, girl. He's saying, girl, you can sing. I want you to come into my presence and just sing for me. He's telling Michael, you can beat those drums. I want you to be my little drummer boy. Come into my presence and I want you to drum for me. Amen. I want my children to come and praise me. And you see, when we do that, what happens? He says, I am happy. I am blessed. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man because my children here and they're praising in front of me. They're using the gifts that I've given to them and they're praising. And then God says, thank you. Thank you. Give daddy a hug. Can you imagine? God's sitting up there and he's saying, I'm going to bless you now. Now that you've blessed me, I'm going to bless you. Come get a hug. Come let me whisper a few words into your ear. You see, the only time that we could come into God's presence is when we praise him. Yeah, we pray and we get into his presence. But there's something special about praising and worshiping. Singing to him, speaking with him, and having a lifestyle that he's pleased with. That's worship. And what we do now is that we sit in his presence and we listen to him. What is the power of praise? What is the purpose of praise and worship? Praise and worship is when we come collectively on a Sunday. Now, we can do it all during the week. But something special happens on a Sunday where you hear all of these voices in unison or in four-part harmony, right? Going up into the presence of God is like a sweet smelling savor going up into the heavens, and God is saying, yes, bless me. It is a blessing to God. And then once we're in this presence, once we move up into the throne room of grace, into the throne room of God, why? Because of what he's done for us already. He's shown his love. How many people experienced the love of God this week? Amen. We experience the love of God every single day. And God is saying on a Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday afternoon, right? Whenever, I want all of my kids to come into my living room. Let's have a family session. Let's have a jam session. And then as we enter into his presence, that's where we experience God. That's where we have that mountaintop experience that some people talk about, right? We have that mountaintop experience and God says, yes, here you are. Now I got a word for you. And that's when we start hearing the voice of God. That's when we start hearing God speaking to us in our hearts. That's when we start hearing the word of God telling us what we need to do. Telling us how we can use these blessings that he's given us in the service of his work. Here is where we hear from God. And we sit in his living room and he's talking with us. Have you heard from God recently? Have you heard from God recently? You see, in the presence of God is when we start hearing. It's when we start soaking it in. Where we have the experience with God that is above all understanding. You see, some people ask, well, how do you know when you've heard from God? You see, well, I don't have the answer to that question. I know when I've heard from him. Amen. It's a unique experience that God wants with you. It's a unique experience. It's just you and him. But collectively, when we get together here on a Sunday, what happens is that there's this aroma that God is pleased with. And when we come into the presence of God, he speaks. Holy Spirit speaks to us. Because we've sung the songs. We've sung songs already today. Speaking of the love of God. Speaking of how when you were down in the dumps, you all know what I'm talking about, right? Right? When you've been experiencing your stuff. Amen? When you've experienced the bottom of the barrel, and some of us, the bottom was kind of high because some people, they sort of like experience the bottom of the barrel, right? When you get down into the down and dirty and you wonder, Lord, where are you? How much longer, Lord, are my enemies going to have power or dominion? Why does the wicked prosper? But you see, we serve a loving God. A God that says, listen, I love you. And sometimes I wonder, do I really understand the depths and the heights and the width of the love that God has for me? Do I really understand it? Because when the scripture talks about, there's, the sister's song came to mind. Ain't no mountain high enough. You know what I'm talking about, right? Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you. And that's what God says to us. That's what Jesus said to us. He says, there's no sin or nothing that you have done that can interrupt my love for you, because my love for you stays, right? My love for you, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going nowhere. Because if I got to come down into that valley where you are, right? You know where your valley is, right? Some of us have two or three different valleys we go to every single day, right? And some valleys have so much rocks in it, and it's high. It's like, wow, I'd like to see you do this one, God. But God says, I don't care where you are. And the other song comes to mind. How does it go? Okay. Just call me. Right? That's right. Just call my name. Well, you all know what I'm saying. Just call my name. Right? And the other one that says, I'll be there. I'll come running. Thank you. To see you again. Winter, spring, summer or fall, all you got to do is call and I'll be there for you. And that's what he says. He says, I will be there. And then he also proves it. He says, yeah, I'll be there. I've been there. Remember, I came. I took off all of my godly apparel. I took off all of my robes. I took off my crown. I became the pauper. I was a prince, but I became the pauper. And I came to this earth. They dressed me in swaddling clothes. They put me in a feeding trough. Man, I did that for you. And then when the time came, that night before I died, I remembered I was in that garden. And I was telling my dad, I said, Dad, you know, I know from the beginning, this is how we had planned things, right? But you know, if there's any other way this can happen, make it happen. But not my will, because my will is that I want this cup to pass, right? But not my will. My will is irrelevant, really. It's what your will is. And if you choose that I walk this path, what's that other song? I chose to walk this path out of my love for you and you. The Via della Rosa, right? I did it. I demonstrated my love for you. And on that night before he died, he was sitting around the table with his disciples. And after some period of discussion, he went over and he took bread. He went over and he took bread. That's the hint, okay? He went over and he took the bread and he started breaking the bread. Now I could imagine the disciples sitting there and they're not really paying much attention because that's what we do, right? We break bread, we dip it into the beans or into the gravy and we eat it. But then there were some words that came out of his mouth and he said, this bread is my body, broken for you. Now, the disciples at that time, they didn't really understand what he was talking about because he wasn't whooped yet. But what he was referring to is the sacrifice that he personally made for us. He says, I love you so much that I put my body on the line for you. And then he took the cup. And he said, this cup is my blood. My blood shed for you. Again, demonstrating that I love you. And he went to the cross, a beaten, battered, literally torn up individual. And he spilled his blood, not only on the cross, but all during those whippings that he was receiving. And what was the purpose of that blood? He says, this blood is our new covenant. You see, back in the Old Testament, they used to seal covenants in blood. Why blood? Blood is the lifeline, right? Blood is the lifeline. It's through his blood that we are saved. Through his blood, we are healed. And he says, I want you to drink it. I mean, it's one thing to be able to have a symbol of the blood, but he's saying, this is my blood. I want you to drink it. I want you to internalize it. I want it to become a part of you because it's through this blood that I want you to remember what I've done through the bread and through the fruit of the vine. That this new covenant is sealed in my blood. It's not any wax that we pour on a sheet of paper and put the stamp on it. This covenant is sealed with the blood of the Lamb. And today what we're doing is we're remembering. Just as Christ said, remember, we're remembering. But we're remembering not from a place of sorrow and defeat. We are remembering from a place of joy and victory. Amen. Right? Because what do we remember? We remember that Christ died for us. We remember that we are now new creations. The old way is gone. That's a thing of the past. God says, you know, that time, I wink at that. I don't remember. Right? I don't remember. But what I look forward to now is the newness of life. The old things are passed away. And now there's a new creation being raised up here. This is what we celebrate today. So, yes, it was a sad time. But for us, we're happy. Because we have a hope. I mean, this hope that we have is something, it's an awesome hope. Can you imagine? You're a child of God. Let that sink for a second. You are a child of God. I don't know if you all really understand that. You are a child of God. God is your daddy, right? You are a part, and was said earlier, of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people. In other words, what God is saying is, you're special. And yes, we are. We are special people, called for a purpose, to be the sons and daughters of God. And because we are called for this purpose, this is why we take this. Because we are saying, yes, God, I accept this bread. I accept this bread as your body broken for me. Yes, God, I accept this wine. I accept the fruit of the vine as a symbol of your blood that was shed for me, but more important, or also just as important, a symbol of your stamp, your signature on this contract. And I said, yes, I accept. I accept the fact that I gave it up. I gave everything up for you, Jesus. The life that I now live, I live in Christ. The former things are passed away. And now we have a new covenant. And this here is a symbol of us accepting our part in that new covenant. Surrendering to our Lord. Surrendering to our Lord. Surrendering to our Master. He is Savior and Lord of mankind. Amen. Holy Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, thank you, thank you, thank you. You've blessed us. You've given us your word, your Son, Jesus the Christ, sacrificed on Calvary for us. What more can we do, great God, but give you all the praise and all of the honor? So we thank you for this opportunity to share this word. We thank you for this opportunity, great God in heaven, to break bread and to share the fruit of the vine with each other, cooperatively singing praises to your name, because it's to you that all of the honor and all of the glory belongs. So we praise you, God. We thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we remember the covenant. Amen.